Good morning. I'm Beth Friedig in for Brian Lehrer. Time is of the essence, and most of us feel like we have a little of it, whether that's at home or at work, very little of it, but especially at work. How many unopened emails do you have in your Outlook box? Do you have a stack of memos piled on your desk, a task list that hasn't been checked off? Well, worry not, dear listener. Help is on the way. Joining me this morning is Gina Trapani, the author of Life Hacker, 88 Tech Tricks to Turbocharge Your Day, published by Wiley. She's also the editor of a blog of the same name. And we have Marion Bateman, who works for the David Allen Company, an efficiency consulting firm. Gina and Marion, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Gina, let's start with you. The title of your book is Life Hacker, and the word hacker has some negative connotations. So why did you use the word in the title of your blog and your book?
Well, actually, the word hacker, even though most people use it to mean computer criminals who steal credit card information and your passwords, in its purest form, the original definition is someone who comes up with a clever shortcut or a sort of workaround to get something done in an unexpected way.
Okay, so it's somebody who comes up with lots of shortcuts. And that's what your blog is about. I was looking at it yesterday, and it was recommending ways of, getting things for your iPod without having to use iTunes if you don't like that, how to put a whiteboard up on your desktop through the web that you could have a little checklist of things to do. So give us some other simple solutions that you recommend that people use to, you say, turbocharge their days.
The book actually has a list of 88 of them, of different skill levels for easy tricks and more advanced ones. So a quick one might be, you know, most people do Google searches on the web a few times a day, so you can kind of set up your computer to make it easy to do a Google search in a couple of keystrokes instead of going through the whole thing of moving your mouse to the address bar and typing google.com and all those different actions, kind of streamline it to a very quick action.
Mm-hmm.
Another little trick actually that I had to set up, because I have this terrible habit of burning away hours on websites that I shouldn't be on while I should be working, is I wrote a little script that helps me block websites that I know that are going to just suck away hours of my day during certain times. So if I go to that website, like, you know, to check sports scores or celebrity gossip, I get a little pop-up that says, hey, you should be working right now.
So
it helps me keep focused.
I saw that in your book. You mentioned don't check them more than once a day, you know, find a way to block it, or only have your email checked once an hour, maybe, so you're not constantly checking. I don't know how productive that could be for somebody who has to know about, you know, instant things right away. Maybe you have a system for making sure the urgent messages get through.
Uh-huh.
So, Marion, since you're a consultant on time management, is productivity really the issue here? Is it wasting time? Are we finding new ways to waste time with all this technology that we need to streamline?
Well, really, the issue is that a productive experience is really an experience of being in control, relaxed, focused, inspired, and being able to get things done. And one of the things that we find is most folks try to keep everything in their head. And these days, with the amount of volume that everybody has, whether you work at home or you're a CEO, your mind is a great instrument to think of. You want to use your mind to think about something, but not to track your life and your work. So really, the book, Getting Things Done, which is the art of stress-free productivity that David Allen wrote in 2001, has now been translated into 22 languages and really is a whole way of externalizing your thinking, getting it out of your head, so that then you can get the results that you want in your life out in front of you and be able to renegotiate your own agreement.
I'm Beth Friedig, sitting in for Brian Lehrer, and our guests are Gina Trapani, the blogger for lifehacker.com, who's just written a book, and Marion Bateman, who's talking about streamlining your workplace. We want to take calls and hear examples, perhaps, of how you've been able to free up time or waste time. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. So tell us, Marion, what are the common blocks that people suffer from when it comes to being productive in the office?
Well, one of the things that I think happens is that, I mean, the average folks we work with, I mean, sure, you have hundreds of emails, you know, your phone ringing, you know, if you work at home, you've got the kids, you know, if you want really, the minute you hop on the web, you're a knowledge manager. And so you want to get all of that out of your head and into a system in front of you. So really our work is learning a new way to think about your life and your work. We've discovered that it's really not possible to keep the old way of, you know, putting things on a daily to-do page to keep track of your work and your life. So it's really a new way to think about your work that actually produces the external results that most people are looking for.
So all those little post-it notes are not helpful?
Well, it's a great way. You know, we believe that it's terrific to write things down, you know, and you really could do it on a napkin or a post-it note. It's then you have to move forward and make decisions about what you've written, and that's what we call processing and organizing. So it's making those decisions up front or predefining your work that then results in a difference in your work and your life.
So both of you are pretty much operating from the presumption of cleanliness is godliness, so to speak. It sounds like, you know, we're working like these very efficient machines. And I would presume from what you're saying that a cluttered workplace would not be a sign of a creative mind. Is that correct? Am I reading you right?
Well, actually, this is Marion here. Clean and neat is not organized. That's
okay.
Something that a lot of people confuse. You can actually have a very disorganized office and be a very strong critical thinker. But what you want is to be able to retrieve information quickly and easily. And that's a whole different issue than clean and neat. However, if you learn to think differently about your work, usually the external environment changes and it'll stay that way instead of focusing on tying things up with pretty bows.
So the person who has stacks of books and papers, and we're not thinking of anyone in particular right now, all over their floor, that could be a very organized person.
They could internally be organized and just have a very high tolerance for stuff around them. However, if I said to you, if you have 5 minutes, can you go in there and find exactly what you want? That's probably not going to be the most efficient way to organize it.
So what is the test, Gina, for whether a person or not is organized? How do you know if you're wasting time or if you're one of these efficient people?
For me, I think it's a matter of is your mind clear enough to take on, you know, if something came up right away, can you look at what you have to do, figure out what the most important thing is, and dive into it without having any kind of nagging worry about other things? Much of Lifehacker is very much inspired by David Allen's Getting Things Done book, so I'm using a lot of his terms, like kind of clearing your mind and being ready for anything. So to me, the sign of an organized person is someone who can have a task dropped on their desk at any point in the day, and for them to have the perspective on their work day to be able to shift quickly and move into that other thing without wanting to pull their hair out.
What does your desk look like?
I keep a very clear desk because I don't have a very high tolerance for stuff around me. But, you know, I think that one can be creative. I'm more creative when I have space to think about other things, because if I have things in front of me, I'm worried about them.
What does your apartment look like?
Well, I won't talk about my apartment. I'll only talk about my office.
How about Marion? Do you want to fess up?
Actually, well, I've been doing this work for about 20 years, so hopefully, you know, my personal and professional space reflects what we teach. Because really, you know, again, if you learn how to think differently, those changes will happen, not all at once. You know, what David Allen teaches is very much like learning a language. So you wouldn't expect to take Spanish and then hop in and translate it to UN the next day. But you can take little bits and pieces and make a huge difference in your life in a very short period of time.
Okay, well, I do want to encourage our callers and listeners to share their tips. We're at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Do you have any tips on how to declutter your desk, meaning your workplace or your computer, for that matter? Gina Trapani, give us a couple of tips right now. We're talking about some of the ways that we can declutter things. A few useful things that people can think of to make the workday go a little quicker. What are the big time wasters that you would urge them to conquer?
Well, one thing that a lot of people spend a lot of time on is email. We all have an email inbox that's stacked full of messages that maybe we responded to, and maybe we have to do something about, maybe we're supposed to follow up on. And one thing that helps me a lot is to keep my inbox completely empty. So when I get new email, I can process it quickly, get it into my, you know, trusted system, which is what David Allen would call it, so that I'm ready for any kind of new email. So I have a, I use a system of three folders. They're called Archive, Action, and Hold. For emails that take less than 2 minutes to deal with, I deal with them right on the spot. If they're going to take longer, I put them in my Action folder. If I don't need them anymore, they go into Archive. And if it's something I need to follow up on, like an Amazon shipment, say, it goes into Hold. And then
so you've actually created these folders in Outlook, or what? Do you need a special
Outlook
software?
Or Gmail, or any email program that you use.
Okay.
Yeah, you could. Most email programs let you create folders. So basically, those folders are your trusted system. You can move your email into those folders, and then your inbox is completely clear, and you know what exactly you have to do, and what you have, you know, to look up later.
Okay. You also encourage keystrokes. You say that mousing is inefficient because it's like an extra step you have to do, and you're encouraging people to use shortcuts on the keyboard. Are those too hard to learn to make it worth, you know, taking the time to bother?
Well, you know, the keyboard shortcuts do take a little more time to learn. But, you know, most of us spend our time 8 hours a day sitting at the computer. And if you think about the movement of your hand to the mouse and then moving the pointer and double-clicking, it is pretty inefficient. So for those things that you do often, and that's by often I mean, you know, half a dozen to a dozen times a day, it's worth it to learn the shortcut. It's the same as if, you know, to get from point A to point B in your town, if you were going to tell a friend, the easy way to go might not be the quickest way to go. You know, the shortcut might be a couple of back roads that it takes some time to figure out. But it's worth figuring them out if you go from A to B very often.
John from Queens, I want to take your call. What's your question? Hello? Okay, looks like we've lost him. Gina, let's go back to the shortcuts with the keyboards. I know from personal experience that using the mouse can cause stress on your wrist, and mm-hmm. it can, you know, cause some tendonitis and pain. But we also have someone in my office who favors the keyboard shortcuts, and he has a different type of problem on his wrist. So, you know, do we have to factor in the stress that these things cause on our bodies when we decide which shortcuts are going to make the most sense?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, any kind of repetitive action can cause health problems. And, you know, there are different ways to deal. There's an ergonomic keyboard or a kind of stand to put up your wrist, and that's something that everyone should use, and something that I definitely use because I'm at the keyboard all day. So it is important to kind of vary your actions.
Okay, John, I think we've got you back now. John from Queens. Give us your tip for decluttering your life.
Actually, from Manhattan, but I'm driving through Queens.
Oh, all right.
I keep a pretty messy desk, and I'm wondering if there is any point to doing the sort of once a quarter big cleanup. You know, get everything out of the way. You know, it takes a day or half a day. Is it worthwhile doing that?
Well, John, this is Marion. One of the things I'd really recommend is check out our website. It's www.davidco.com. There's lots of articles about how you can begin to jumpstart. I'd recommend you collect everything. And you know how you feel so great right before you go on vacation because you clean up your desk and get all your agreements defined and cleared for yourself? We really recommend that you collect everything you've got attention on and then begin to walk yourself through the thinking process about what here is reference only and what here is actionable, and then, again, get it into a system that you trust. Even just beginning to triage that desk and divide things into what's actionable and what's reference and what's archive or trash will make a huge difference for you.
Okay, thanks.
I think our caller might have been taking multitasking a little too far because I don't think either of you would recommend calling while driving, would you?
No.
No.
Which leads me to another question. When does this become an obsession? You know, are we as a society, I don't know if it was like this, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, but everywhere you go, you see, you know, the container store, different ways of storing things. Are we just a little too focused right now on putting things in boxes and decluttering ourselves?
Well, you know, this is Gina. I think that it's really easy to avoid doing those things that you're putting off by spending time, you know, tweaking your system. And it's definitely a problem. I mean, it's easier to, you know, to research a new email program than to actually, you know, process all the email you've got waiting for you in your current program. So I think that that is definitely a pitfall, the constant kind of reorganizing one. The whole point is that you're supposed to do, you know, the things that you need to do. So it's a matter of setting up your system and then having that system enable you to do, not constantly setting and resetting up a system. So that's definitely something to keep in mind.
Right. There's even sort of like a counter movement to that with, you know, people who are into the slow food movement, where it's not about doing things quickly, but about letting the foods cook naturally and stuff like that. You know, it seems like we're living in an age where there's so much pressure to do things faster and faster. And then other people are saying, hey, slow down, you know. Are your methods going to make us stop and enjoy the moment or just act quicker?
Well, I think, this is Marianne, I think that, remember, the productive experience is a relaxed focus experience. It's not a move quicker experience. But, you know, your point is well taken in that we're focusing more and more on either Blackberries or Palms or collecting devices, how we can collect and have more information coming to us. However, what we need is a vehicle for making decisions about all of that information that's coming at us. And that's where we do need to learn differently, to think differently about our work and our life. Now, once you think differently, you can use whatever you like to organize into, whether it's paper or, you know, Outlook or Lotus Notes or, you know, from our point of view, we're systems neutral. You can choose whatever you like, but learning how to think and make decisions up front about all those things coming at you, that's what creates a relaxed state.
I would also imagine that you have to be careful about which methods you choose, because one thing that I saw in your book, you recommended sending and receiving money over your cell phone using PayPal. I didn't know that was even possible. So are there certain things that you recommend doing for efficiency, but we also have to be extra careful about how to do that?
Well, you know, there are tons of options, new technology services, you know, coming out every single day that let us do all sorts of crazy things we never imagined that we could. And certainly these things should be approached with caution. And also, you want to pick out the things that work for you. I mean, if you don't use your phone to text message, then PayPaling money, it probably isn't your thing. I'm someone that I SMS a lot, so it makes sense for me to say, hey, you know, say to my buddy, hey, I owe you $10 for the dinner bill. Let me just text it to you right now.
And you could do that. You can transfer money that way.
Yep, using PayPal, which is, you know, PayPal has been around for a long time, and it's a system that's, you know, as safe as online money is going to get at this point. So I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty amazing thing, that you could be sitting there at the dinner table, and if somebody didn't have enough money, you could transfer. All right, well, one last question. I'm told I don't have time for one last question. Thank you so much. Our guests have been Gina Trapani, the author of Life Hacker, 88 Tech Tricks to Turbocharge Your Day.